Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Go-To Food Podcast, where each week we'll be joined by an esteemed guest to uncover their go-tos, from their favorite takeaway to their tried and tested hangover remedies and even their go-to secret date spots. This podcast has it all. And today we're delighted to be joined by the wonderful Ben Rebuck, aka Ben's Vegan Kitchen, who's amassed an incredible following of over 600,000 people as he shows us how to make vegan food in this day and age. And of course, with his customary Jewish touch. I ask him if he's got into trouble with the community for veganizing Jewish food.
When we look at, you know, Jewish food, Ashkenazi food in general, and Jews in general, they don't seem to like changes to their recipes whatsoever. You know, Jewish families are quite pernickety about even the smallest of changes in seasoning to a chicken soup or whatever. How have you managed to convince, you know, not just Jewish people, but sort of a nation of followers to get vegan-isms into Jewish food?
Very difficultly, to be honest. I think the thing that's most interesting about Jewish food, as you say, people don't like to change it, but everyone does it differently. There's no, I think it actually probably is very similar in a lot of cuisines. I can think of jollof rice. It's done all across so many different countries, and they all do it differently, and they all think they're right, but they all taste nice.
True.
I think it's the same with Jewish food.
Even household to household, right?
Like it's literally. You can be born in the same village, and you'll still do something differently. And I think Jewish food is the same. It's, you know, completely stood the test of time. And I'm just here to show people that, you know, we've been eating it for so many years that you can make changes. And I think what's really interesting, and I have a lot of people who are a lot more religious than I am. I'm not particularly practicing Jewish. I think people listening, you know, Judaism is more of an ethno-religion than a religion. So you don't actually have to necessarily believe in, you know, I don't believe like God and Moses. Like all of these are fables and tales. Like they're all there for a reason. You can understand the stories behind them. They're all great. But, you know, for Judaism, it's it sounds bad when you say bloodline because it sounds a little bit racist, but it's not. It's
tiny,
you know,
bit, yeah.
It is a little bit, maybe. No, because you can convert to Judaism are allowed. Yeah, it takes a long time, and we tried to make people not do that. Not my words. You do you. But yeah, I think because of that, you know, we are a people, and, you know, my ancestors came from Eastern Europe, and a lot of the food that we make has those influences of Eastern Central Europe, and they're not the most sexy dishes. You know, I'm thinking of things like borscht and things like that, but they're packed full of flavour and they serve a purpose. They're, you know, these are cold countries, Poland, Austria, Latvia, Lithuania, like they're always pretty cold and pretty miserable. So you need to eat nice food. And I'm making it vegan and it's actually not that difficult.
Replacing the chicken soup with no chicken. I mean, you must have got a lot of tuts and sort of shakes of the head from especially old Jewish ladies.
Yeah, I mean, it still tastes the same. I think a lot of the flavour from a chicken soup nowadays, when people make it, comes from the stock powder that they use anyway. Yeah. And I just use that and you just add a little bit more. But I don't think it has the same. I think we call it Jewish penicillin. Yeah. So it's meant to be very healing. But I think soups are quite healing, especially meat soups, because you have, you know, the marrow and the bones and all the offcuts of whatever it is that actually are full of iron and all sorts of other things, which are kind of, you know, as a vegan, I'll say, like, they are good for you. They have healing properties. So the Jewish vegan penicillin doesn't quite work the same, but it's a lovely bowl of soup and it tastes just as nice.
You did a wonderful little series called Oi Vegan, or Vegan, Oi Vegan. Oi Vegan.
It works when you say it.
It does, because Oi Vegan, but then again, basically vegan Jewish Ashkenazi food.
Correct.
And what do we have? We had challahs, babkas, smoked salmon bagels, chopped liver. I mean, that must have been quite incredible to be a vegan. How do you make a vegan chopped liver?
Mushrooms, basically, are the main ingredient.
It's always mushrooms.
It's always mushrooms, you know, you've got to remember that liver is basically, it's very metallic-y. It's full of, you know, it's basically just blood, really. It's like a thick, bloody organ. And the taste that you get from it is the same that you get from a mushroom, because mushrooms come from the dirt and they're hearty. So, yeah, you just fry off mushrooms, basically. It's effectively is a glorified mushroom pate, but I make a, you know, chopped liver is served with a boiled egg mushed into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way that I've always had it. So, I use tofu and black salt. Have you had black salt before?
Yeah.
Kala namak.
It's got that like sulfuric.
It's a sulfuric salt, and it really makes things taste like egg. So you mush that all together with the tofu and it's great. I made it on Saturday Kitchen, and you know, I think everyone wanted to hate it, but Rob Rinder actually was like, "Oh, my cousin's vegan." He was like, "Can I take the rest of this home for her? She's going to love it." And I was like, "Please, absolutely."
I mean, Saturday Kitchen was a big break. We really enjoyed it. You, the Honey and Co. lot, you know, Rob Rinder, as you just said there, incredible experience.
It was very cool. It was, I think, my first time on live TV, and you know, I think they've obviously got it down to a T, but I didn't make anything. I mean, I don't know if you've seen TV production before, but everything, so I had to go in. It was on a Sunday, even though it was Saturday Kitchen, because it was a Jewish one-off special, for Pesach. No.
It was for
Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. Yeah, it was a confusing one, but it worked. Yeah, I think you go in for a rehearsal a couple of days before. I feel like I'm allowed to say these things. And they've already like tested the recipe. Like you send them the recipe, they've already tested it. They have like chefs there making all the food. They test it, run through. Then on the day you get there like 2 hours before. So I had to get there at like 6 o'clock in the morning. Jeez. Run through the whole thing. Again, they're sort of like, I made the smoked salmon from carrots. So I'm peeling the carrots on camera. I'm putting stuff in a blender, but everything's already made. It's all done. Like they made about six different versions to make sure that.
So the thing you serve up, you haven't touched?
No, not at all. I mean, firstly, the smoked salmon recipe, it takes hours because you need to soak it and use it, marinate it. Yeah. So like naturally you can't, but it wasn't even.
But I'm
like,
losing my love for Matt Tebbutt. I thought he was like the sexiest man in the world, you know, being able to sort of multitask, interview.
They do a lot. Because he's there, he's chopping, he's talking, and they are like, when you're there, you do prep. So I'm there actually prepping a version of that dish, but my one then goes in a fridge, and then I presume someone else eats it later.
What's interesting about what you're saying, because when I watch it, there's always you can feel he's getting a bit tense, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you did this necessarily, but like, I've got mates who've gone on there, and he's sort of, you can tell he's a bit like, can you do the thing with the blender now? Because is that just so it looks like you're doing the right thing at the right moment? Because you're not needing that, right?
They said to me, make sure at no point you're doing nothing, which makes sense.
So that's maybe what he's doing.
He's just making sure that, because, you know, what I made wasn't necessarily too difficult to do on camera. Yeah. So it was just like, I was kind of keeping busy, putting stuff in food processors and doing this and doing that.
But I love the bit where you go to the oven.
Oh,
and you just put something in, you're like, I mean, everyone knows that's a cold oven, probably.
The oven was hot. It was really hot in there. All the hobs are on.
Oh, really?
Because the guys from Honey & Co. were making this, like, roasted lamb, like, leg of lamb, whatever it was. And that was cooking next to me the whole time. And I was absolutely boiling. Yeah, it was hard graft.
What's been the best, the worst sort of Ashkenazi spin, or just general vegan food you made? Like, the biggest success in terms of converting a meat or fish dish, and then sort of the worst?
I guess it's completely up to your individual. I made actually something yesterday which I'd made before, but I made it even better, which was using enoki mushrooms as fried chicken. So I made this like gochujang fried.
The clumps,
exactly.
Of long ones.
They're very like mushroom. Mm. They look like someone's drawn a picture of a mushroom, but they're all stuck together.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, they peel once they're cooked, are very chickeny.
Mm-hmm.
The flavour isn't particularly chickeny, but. I double fried them in like a gochujaru batter, and they were really nice. I'll show you a picture really quickly.
Yeah, please,
I served
it
in
a, incredible.
The video will be going obviously live on my socials, but I served it in a like as like a sandwich with like a
that is
floor.
Sexy,
and it was really good. My in-laws and my mum were around later, and they were picking it. They were like, "What is this?" I was like, "It's mushroom." They're like, "Oh, it's absolutely amazing!" And it was top tier. My favourite thing I would say that I've ever made on my page, in terms of eating it and being like, "Bloody hell, that was good," was sticky toffee pudding. Because firstly, it's one of the greatest foods of all time.
Yeah.
And veganizing it is really easy.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah. I think with most vegan bakes, you just add oil rather than eggs, and it seems to work
really
well.
Amazing how often it works, isn't it?
Every time.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get it wrong. You just have to just add a little bit more. It's not healthy, but I mean, there's no healthy sticky
toffee pudding, right? Like,
What about the biggest failure? There must be one where you're like, that just tastes like shit. I'm sorry. Even I'm tempted to not be a vegan anymore. Just. How insulted I am.
It's funny because I think a lot of what I do is off camera. So a lot of what I do is making sure that the recipe that I'm writing down in the captions is right.
Mm-hmm.
So I might not show the steps, and the dish itself might not be that good. As long as it, for me, it's as long as it looks good. Because at the end of the day, no one can, you can't taste through the screen. You need to see visually that it looks like a good dish. So often I'll make something, not often, once or twice I've made something where it's not been great. I've gone back and made it just off camera, you know, for dinner that night, whatever, tweaked a few things and then written out that recipe, which I think is fair. I weirdly don't have that many failures. I love food, so everything that I make, I genuinely do like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's hard when you have to constantly take a bite of food and be like, because people are going to be like, you're chatting shit now.
Yeah.
Can I swear on this?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, I'm an adult. Of course I can. I think people always like, you know, it can't be that nice. I always say, you know, every video that I make, I have to make it as if no one has ever seen me before.
Yeah. Sure.
So you have to kind of go over the top and be like, oh, that's so good.
What about like a vegan gefilte fish?
I would never
touch. Would that be a failure?
Of course, I wouldn't even bother. Gefilte fish is disgusting.
Okay.
I mean, boiled.
I quite like it.
Fried is nice, but that boiled gelatin.
Yeah, no, not boiled. Fried is delicious.
Yeah, fried, you know.
Bit of crayon on the side.
I've never had anything fried which I haven't liked. I think that's.
Okay.
The first time I made souffle gagnotte, so the sort of vegan donuts, I followed a recipe for veganizing Sufganiyot, and it just completely failed. They were flat, they didn't rise, they tasted terrible. In the end, I followed a recipe for vegan sort of jam donuts and went off that, and just it's the same
rebranded
thing.
Them.
Yeah.
What's the one dish you miss pre-becoming a vegan? One you can't replicate no matter what you do.
Chicken wings. I used to just love chicken wings.
Yeah.
And cauliflower is not a vegan chicken wing, it's cauliflower. Right. Yeah. Lovely. You batter cauliflower, fry it, put some buffalo sauce, great. It's not a vegan wing, it doesn't taste anywhere near the same. No one's really been able to get close. You can buy vegan wings, there's a company called Biff's and it's just like jackfruit and it's horrible. No offence to them, you know, they're doing well, but yeah. I don't like them. Yeah, it's just that texture and the, I don't know, I used to just eat chicken wings all the time. When I was at uni, you'd get like a massive pack from Asda for like £2 or whatever the supermarket was, and I would just stick them all in the oven, just sit there on the sofa just eating them. So I do miss that. Everything else that I missed you can now get. I used to always love eating like just ravioli, like store-bought tortellini ravioli. Takes 2 minutes, doesn't it? And now you can get pretty good vegan ones everywhere. So,
well, before we get into your sort of meteoric rise over the last couple of years, we are going to move into your drinks, your go-to drinks. Obviously this is the go-to podcast, we ask sort of go-to questions.
Clever.
And as we do so, we're going to have a drink, aren't we, Ben?
We are.
What are we having?
So I've, there's a theme emerging here, because I fucked it the last time we did this, and I used a whiskey that is like peaty. I made a whiskey sour, vegan whiskey sour, which is one of my favourite things.
Sounds amazing.
But I wanted to use it as like a smoky whiskey. I used a peaty one, so it tastes like you're sort of licking a display at the National History Museum.
Well, we'll get there eventually with the drinks.
Interesting. Yeah, I look forward to tasting it.
Yeah. But I think, and I also don't know, I wanted to put Angostura bitters on it.
Vegan, yeah, they're fine.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
I think they just taste like cola.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
In a good way.
Oh, yeah.
So have you made this? What's the vegan sort of...
So classically, you do egg white,
yeah.
whiskey, lemon juice, shaky with a bit
you
of sugar.
You use a vegan egg white.
I use that quaffaba, or chickpea, like chickpea juice.
Oh, nice.
Chickpea liquor.
Chickpea juice.
Yeah.
Well,
and it, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what
it
happens.
It was beautifully frothy when I left home.
Well, it's hard to travel with cocktails, isn't it? Let's see. This is the moment. Looks pretty good, to be fair.
A little froth on there.
That looks pretty.
That does look good.
Impressive.
What's in the other flask? That's what I want to know.
Top secret.
Is that for later on?
That's for later on.
As you pour those drinks, Ben, why don't you tell us, what's your go-to cocktail?
If I have to order a cocktail.
Oh, all right. Sorry for asking.
If I have to. No, I'm a beer and Guinness kind of person.
Yeah, yeah. But you're taking the wife out. She's upset. The fact you're still vegan, she's not anymore. Like, come on.
I would always order an old fashioned.
Yeah.
I love an old fashioned. They're easy to make.
They are. Easier than a vegan whiskey sour.
Yeah. Well, it's a naturally vegan drink anyway. Thank you kindly.
So many drinks are. I don't know why I chose when I had to veganise.
Well, because it's me.
It's you. That's
it. I would have been disappointed with something that you haven't put any effort into. Yeah, my whole career is based on veganising things. Cheers.
Cheers.
I look forward to it.
Cheers.
It's so fucking peaty.
That's interesting.
Ooh. Yeah.
When you get past the fact the whiskey's odd.
What whiskey is it?
It's called Laphroaig.
Okay.
Which, I don't know, I don't know enough about whiskey to know that it was going to taste like a museum.
It tastes like a lotion that I put on a baby, like chamomile ocean. Yeah. Lotion?
Yeah. It's not, I mean, as I said, I fucked it last time, I fucked it again.
Yeah, it does.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
If I ordered it in a bar, I would obviously finish
You'd
it.
You'd send a bit. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, I would finish it, and then I would order something different next time.
Yeah.
But I would obviously drink
mention
it.
To them that it's maybe odd. It shouldn't be on the menu.
It is very much like a baby's sort of lotion, which you may put on if they've got really bad eggs.
You'd send that back, would you?
I'm not sure. It's interesting.
If it was a smoky whiskey, or like
a
bourbon.
Are you sure you've used whiskey in this?
100%.
It's nice. It's got the sour taste.
It's got the sour.
You've done a brilliant job with the vegan egg bit.
It's changed the texture. I like it.
It's all uphill from here.
Yeah. No, I like it. You've done well.
I've tried.
But yeah, an old fashioned for me is the go to.
Okay.
I did get into that Soho House wanker ordering a picante everywhere.
Oh god, yeah.
They're nice.
They are expensive though, for what they are.
Soho House is expensive.
It is incredibly expensive.
That's why I don't go anymore.
No. Yeah, well, you're still paying your membership though, aren't you?
No. They let me freeze it.
Really?
I told
them that's what I was thinking about doing it.
Well, you have to have like special circumstances. It has to be like...
Right, okay, so take me through this.
I emailed them, said I'm having a baby, I don't live in London.
But is a baby a special circumstance? You live in Hertfordshire, it's only half an hour away.
Yeah, but I'm not
I'm
in.
Trying to get, you know,
I'm not in on the inside. Inside.
Yeah, yeah. No. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Are you, if you're looking for a excuse, try the baby thing. No, okay. They said like you have to have a good reason for.
And how long's the freeze?
It said up to a year.
Okay.
And at any point I can unfreeze it, but they won't let me ever freeze it again.
Well, it's such a waste of money, the whole thing.
It is, the whole thing's ridiculous. I think it used to be good.
Yeah, it did. But under 27 back in those days.
I never joined before I was under 27.
Half price on the Monday.
You waited.
I waited until
I
want
to do it properly.
Yeah. Well, I had a job in town and I was like, oh, I'm in town all the time. This is useful. And then I quit the job. And then like 2 days later, they were like, you're in. I was like, great, cool, thanks for that.
Less helpful now.
Right, so let's go to your go-to drink during a meal then. I'm guessing it's just Guinness and beer still, is it?
Oh. I never drink beer during a meal.
Okay.
I see people, they go for a curry with a few pints of Kingfisher or whatever, I don't know how the body does it, you know? I'm not a small guy, but like, it fills you up too much.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Always wine through a meal. I like a rosé. I don't know if I'm supposed to, but I just do.
No matter what time of year?
Yeah, pretty much all. Well, I'm more interested in drinking red wine this time of year. Winter red wine, it seems to just go better with the food. I do like a Malbec. No fancy Malbec. Just there's one I think you get from Tesco's. It's called Merry Malbec. Only seems to come out this time of year. Had some last night. It was fantastic. Made a shepherd's pie. It's the perfect thing to go with a shepherd's pie.
Sounds joyous.
But I like rosé. I like a rosé blush. I'm not such a wine snob. I kind of drink anything, but. There are a few that I've had where I'm not so mad on it, but I will still drink it. I'm not one of those people.
Okay.
Nice.
And say, you know, in between your cocktail and your merry Malbec, if we were going to come around for supper, you can do some snacks, you know, just as we had a cocktail or a beer before the meal. What would you be making? What would you be putting out?
I'm cheap, so probably crisps.
Okay.
But everyone loves a crisp.
Any particular flavour?
We like kettle crisps. I think the black pepper and sea salt ones,
yeah, those are good.
They're good because
they're timeless.
I feel like when you're before dinner, they're not going to interrupt. I think when you start going your chili heat waves and your spicy ones, then you're going to start
getting the palate going too much. Yeah.
If I had to pick a favourite crisp, it would be the truffle. Is it? I can't remember the name.
Torres.
Torres.
Yeah, they're
fucking good. The truffle ones are like
they get in my head though.
Yeah, they're overpowering.
They're a lot, but that's truffle. Truffle's meant to taste.
A complex relationship with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not an everyday crisp.
Do the counselling?
No, really, they get in my head. I don't. It's just a lot going on, isn't there?
Yeah.
They do like a ham on one as well.
Oh, that's too much there.
And it's similar.
Yeah. The ham on's heavy. The Torres is not. The truffle's nice.
Lives inside your mouth for longer than you might expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, finger food is something, and like appetizer food isn't really something that I do because it's quite hard when you're vegan. I think you can put out, you know, I could put out some hummus. I make quite a nice, actually, a sour cream and chive dip. I've only found that out over the last couple of weeks. Made out of tofu, silken tofu.
Like whipped?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, blended with a little bit of lemon, a little bit of sour a little bit of white wine vinegar, a bit of salt, and that's pretty much it. I made it with latkes, and I was like, oh, I'll give it a try. And I had this whole bowl, and I was like, oh.
Freddie, I've made latkes.
You made latkes? Oh,
yeah, I've made fucking latkes.
Welcome to the world of, you know.
Latkes are great.
Unbelievable.
I think they are our best food.
Yes. Can I give us some latkes while we talk about?
Oh,
I've literally made
latkes. Oh, sorry, I thought you said you made some.
Once upon a time, I made.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I made them right now.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. I would love some, mate.
Fantastic.
I would love some.
If you keep talking, though.
But yeah. I made this sour cream. You know, I was like, yeah. And the next day, I had like a whole bowl of it, and I opened a pack of crisps and just ate all of it.
So where do you get your Jewish food in London, then? And I'm not saying you're like raw produce. I'm saying if you were going to go to, like, you know, Panzers or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard for you, though.
It can be difficult. I live in Radlett, which is in Hertfordshire, which is actually a very Jewish village. The high street is very small, and there's one kosher butcher, there's two synagogues, and there's two Jewish delis.
Jesus.
And there's
it's more than the whole of South London.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's one village.
Well, actually, there was a Hanukkah, a menorah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which was a nice touch.
Yeah.
So yeah, I normally go to, it used to be called Yummies. They have one in Mill Hill, but the one in Radlett has now closed, and they've basically, the guy who owned it just sold it to someone else, and they just opened. They kept all the staff, all the chefs, everyone, and just kept the same name. Changed the name, so it's called Fresh Deli, or something. I actually don't know what it's called. But yeah,
but you can't buy much like fresh raw in the sense of like bagels or fucking.
Bagels are fine. Bagels have no egg in them.
No, but I'm saying like, sorry, with salmon and cream cheese, you know, like lox, like if it's all made up.
Yeah, I don't buy ones that.
Like, you can't be on the go that much as a vegan, is what I'm saying. it's a Jewish vegan.
It's tougher, a Jewish vegan. Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. They've just bought out, Squeaky Bean have bought out a vegan smoked salmon, and it's really surprisingly good. I wanted to hate it with
what,
every fibre.
Do you know what it is? Like, what is it?
I don't care. It tastes nice.
It's pink and it tastes good.
It's like an orangey. It's not carrots. It's some sort of soya based. It looks like that actually. Basically,
this is carrots.
No, lovely. But no, I think you can.
It's like Rebecca and Seth and him on a kitchen or whatever.
Excuse fingers.
This is lovely.
Well, yeah, you know, I did take inspiration from. I didn't go in for your full.
Oh no, it takes too long.
Thingy.
It takes too long. You can do it.
Well, now you know it's a cheat as well. Like they were lying to you for hours on that TV show anyway. What about on a night out? What are you drinking? Back on the beers again?
Guinness.
You ready?
Yeah, I just love Guinness. And actually,
you know where you are with a Guinness.
You know what? This year was the first year where I didn't stop. I didn't stop drinking Guinness throughout the summer. I just kept going. Every time I went to the pub, I was like, I actually have drunk a lot less this year. A pregnant wife means you don't tend to get many opportunities to go to the pub.
Yeah, less.
So I did drink a lot less. But every time I was like, you know what? I just want a Guinness. I'm over lager. I'm not over it, but I just don't think.
What about ales?
I did the whole like wearing little hats and drinking pale ales and
still
IPAs and
yeah.
I feel like, you know, I don't want to drink something with a bloke that looks like me on the can. Like, it doesn't appeal to me, and they always taste a bit like feety.
Yeah,
there's just something I don't like about them.
Too much Guinness, does that make you feel dodgy, or is that just me? Like, there is sort of a famous. No, you're fine with it.
I've never drunk more than six in one go.
Because they're quite heavy, aren't they?
They are heavy, but they're just delicious.
Well, should we jump into
these? I would like
Ben, you go for it first, being a guest.
They're obviously, you know, I fried them just before I left.
Yeah. Oh, mate. No excuses. And they look
An old Lutker is still a good Lutker.
Yeah, they look incredible.
They do look good.
I'm a bag of nerves.
Ben's analysing them for those listening.
Are they too big?
No.
Are they big enough?
I would say they were smaller than what I would make. But,
okay.
But I think these
are perfect for.
Yeah, I think they're also a perfect size.
For travel lackers.
Yeah.
Travel lackers, exactly.
I'm going to do it in one bite because I don't have time to bite it in half.
Oh, yeah, nice. This is going to be wonderful to see for those those into sort of food fetishes interested in Ben. That was a lovely slow moment.
Pretty good, right?
Mm. Are they good?
I don't know.
They look great. I'm about to have one. I'm just going to ask a question, then I'm going to have one. Ben,
professional.
You weren't always destined to be a food influencer, even though you've sort of worked in content throughout your, you know, career, as it were. But you lived in Tel Aviv for 3 years. Can you tell us what you know what you're up to over there? What weird and wonderful jobs you were doing?
Well, I only had one job whilst I was there. I worked for a football media company who is based out of Tel Aviv. They're based in the UK now, where they still have a Tel Aviv office. But Israel is very technologically advanced for whatever reason, so the operation side of that business is still based there. So they have all these we used to call them the nerds, but they'd walk around like with long beards, like no shoes, like they'd all smoke weed all day, like at the office smoking weed, but they would just
chill,
like crunch data into machines and build these platforms, whatever. So it was pretty cool. But my job there was social media, content, video. I used to do video presenting, which is why what I'm doing now is very easy for me, because I've been doing it for years. So yeah, I worked in football, moved back to the UK January 2018, so I've been back almost 6 years, which is mental. And worked a few jobs in football over here. I wrote for The Mirror for a bit. That wasn't particularly enjoyable.
No.
I won't get into that.
No one's perfect. Mustn't beat yourself up.
No, it's fine. And then I worked at, where did I go? I worked for a football media company. I worked for, you know, Joe, Talk.co.uk. Yeah. I worked for Joe for a bit. I worked for Jungle, which they have like Twisted. They have all these food.
Oh, right,
and,
yeah.
They have, I worked for, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I left to join the.
Do you know Tej?
Tej, I do know Tej. Yeah.
He's
a very good cook.
His brother is coming on the pod in January, is the head chef of Noble Rot in Soho, Alex.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
And Tej.
Will also be coming, will he?
Right, runs Twisted, right?
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah, no, he does. Yeah, yeah, he does.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a powerful family.
Yeah.
Get them both in.
Yeah, I never actually worked for Twisted. I worked for another one of their brands.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I've been around, and then I left there, joined a vegan company. I won't name them because I refuse to give them any airtime, and I lasted 3 months there before I was like, you guys are
really
not particularly pleasant to work with.
So. Really?
So I left in June last year, sort of set off to, you know, I think my page at that point, I had 40,000 followers, which is still pretty good going.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't do it now. I think now 40,000 in like a year, it just seems to be like not as big of a number as it did. But I just quit my job, focused on what I was doing, and here I am, you know, nearly 300,000 on Instagram, 130,000 on TikTok,
40,000
on Facebook. Yeah, I'm nearly at 500,000 across the board, which
that's nice.
By the time this comes out, you probably are.
Let's assume you are.
Oh, it'd probably be more.
Yeah, it's probably a million.
So just out of, because I'm interested in that, out of 40,000, you were monetizing that and you felt like this, I could almost live off this?
Yeah, it was hard to gauge because I'm very open about it. I feel like a lot of people aren't for whatever reason.
Need to be, yeah.
I mean, it's an English thing. We don't like to talk about money. But
exactly.
For me, like the money that I was earning was great because I had a full-time job the whole time.
Right, okay.
And it got to a point where I had earned the same as what I'd earned in my full-time job. But at the same time, I was like, well, if I'm able to earn this doing it part-time and still, you know, I was able to do it because I had a full-time job, basically, if that made sense. And I was working from home, so it would be filming in lunch breaks, like after work. Sorry, the oil is
that's fine.
Makes me a bit belchy. But
oh, really?
Yeah, well, I can do. I'm like a Buddha.
We should get a rider from people before I cook.
No, it's fine. I mean, I fry stuff with oil. It just makes me hiccup. But
just ruin this guy.
No, they taste bloody good.
They're very nice.
I'm sitting here thinking about a second one, but I do.
Yeah, no,
I
don't mind.
I'm freaking on.
Yeah, please,
I don't care.
Please do.
Whilst I'm talking.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, if it got to the point where the thing that actually was taking the most amount of time was dealing with brands. So I remember the point where I had to change my mindset with it. There was a brand that I was trying to do a deal with, and it was for, you know, maybe £1,500, which is a good amount of money, don't get me wrong. And I remember by the time the content had been posted, the email chain was at over 100 emails. So when you're working full time, having to film stuff at every bit of free time you've got, and dealing with like managing yourself and negotiating, and it got too much. So I was like, I can't do everything. So actually I got a management agent in at that point to deal with that. They take like 20% of everything you earn, but it's, you know, if they wanted to take more, it's worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
How tough is it that your wife Tamara isn't a vegan? I mean, mealtimes, you say, talking about your kid back
really
then.
Easy.
Really?
It's super easy. We've been dealing with it a while. I mean, she was vegan for like a year and a bit, but, you know, just decided to go off it. But you know, we eat the same food pretty much every night, but she'll incorporate a different type of protein.
She sort of dipped out of veganism. Are you seeing that as a sort of global trend at the moment or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think veganism as a fad is kind of, it's leveling out a bit. I think people are more open to it. I think more people incorporate it into their lives, but probably don't eat vegan all the time. I would say most people who follow me are people who say, oh, you know, we do meatless Mondays, or we try and cut down. Like, everyone I know always says to me, like, oh, I don't eat that much meat. And whenever I say, oh, what did you have last night? They'll be like, side of beef. And, you know, people like to say it to try and appease me for whatever reason. But I think it's their own conscience, personally.
Yeah.
I think a lot more people nowadays do eat a lot less meat and fish than they were. I don't know many people who still eat red meat all the time.
No. I think people like yourself, and I used to work for Mira Soda, who has a vegan column in The Guardian, and like I could just know from like her audience, like the world is globalizing, and like the load of cultures, their food is generally vegetarian or vegan anyway.
Yep.
So people are kind of, their minds are more open to that.
Yep.
And then also I know like people do lie about how much, you know, chicken they eat.
Yeah.
But they're just more open to kind of like having nights where they don't do it.
Well, because
not as structured as like Meat Free Monday, but just kind of being more broadly.
But I think the fact that there are options out there, you know, people always say, oh, what's your favourite like vegan restaurant to go to? And I was like, I don't go to vegan restaurants. I go to normal restaurants which have a vegan option that I can eat. And that way everyone I'm with can eat. And I don't feel like you have to eat vegan food. Like,
Has that improved?
Yeah.
Because like, as a head chef, I remember like I used to, when I was writing the menus, you'd just make sure you had one thing.
Yeah. And like there's still places
which like now feels quite lazy that we were only like making sure there's one vegan option. Whereas now I look at menus and there's normally you could like work a menu a few ways to kind of.
Yeah. And I think people are more open to being like, oh, do you mind swapping like that for that to make it vegan? Which I think they weren't doing before. But you know, you look at places like Wagamama. Wagamama actually have more vegan options than they have non-vegan options on their menu now.
Yeah.
You would never know. They're not a vegan restaurant, but you know, why can't we live in a world where the restaurants are majority vegan but they still have chicken and steak and whatever?
Talking about food, let's move on to your go-to food options, your food questions, starting off with your go-to delivery order.
Chinese or Indian, always. Do you want to obviously know what I order from?
So
I think we do fluctuate between either a Chinese. I have to convince my wife to get a Chinese because she doesn't like it. Well, she doesn't like the idea of it, But every time we get it, she goes, oh, that's quite good. Yeah. But we've narrowed it down to where we live now. We've tried all of them. We've got one of each that we really like. Indian is a lot easier for being vegan, I think, because they understand it a bit more. I mean, I don't question if they put ghee in it. I just, you know, it arrives, I eat it, and, you know, it tastes nice. So maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But for an Indian, I'll always have... well, actually, I say always. I've recently been trying all the different variations of curry to find one that I like, and I've settled on a dansak. Dansak is really good. So I just get like a chana dansak, so just chickpeas, and yeah, it's
delicious.
Good. And then we get like a Bombay aloo, so that's the potatoes, a chana masala sometimes, a sug chana, like loads of chickpeas, and taka dal, rice, maybe a naan bread. Actually, at the minute, we've avoided naan breads, and I've been getting chapatis. Just literally stuff everything in the chapati and
yeah, you go.
Yeah. Chinese, it's crispy seaweed. Got to have crispy seaweed.
Always.
I get black bean and green. What do they call it? Green pepper and black bean. Just bean curd. Mm-hmm. They always call it bean curd. They never call it tofu because it is ever so slightly different.
Is it?
And sometimes I'll get sweet and sour tofu as well, and that's plenty of food.
What's the dish you cook the most midweek?
Normally a pasta dish. I have several pastas on rotation at all times because I can't live without it. I've always been obsessed with pasta before I was vegan. It's been like a running joke that, you know, my parents always say all you eat is pasta, because it's true. If I could eat it 7 times a week, like, I would, but I feel like it's not the best thing to eat 7 times a week. If you pair it with things, we eat whole wheat pasta now, which, believe it or not, actually I think is just as good once you mix it in. But
So is it just like the darker one? Is that what, like,
the only issue is from a filming social media content, the shapes aren't there. You know, you can only buy penne, fusilli, and spaghetti, and sometimes tagliatelle and whole wheat. Whereas they're not sexy enough.
Fusilli's kind of sexy.
Fusilli's bottom tier pasta. Yeah.
I like how silly it is.
Yeah. You can tell you're a parent.
Yeah.
Getting
you know
those dad jokes. Yeah. Terrible. So yeah, it will be probably a pasta dish, but realistically, if we're making a night where we're like, what are we going to make? Tofu in the air fryer, it will probably be Asian based. So literally I put the tofu in raw, little bit of salt, gets nice and crispy, rice, broccoli, and then I'll make a sauce. So it'll be some sort of soy miso, gochujang. Sometimes we go Mediterranean, mix it up, a little bit of oregano, mint, nutritional yeast. I do like a halloumi vibes. So yeah, just tofu and rice and vegetables.
What about if Ben was coming around for supper with his wife and his baby? The babies were meeting, you guys are meeting properly.
It'd be a cute moment.
It's a dinner party.
Yeah.
We expect 3 courses. I know we found it hard to do more than crisps as like a snack, but what about like a 3-course kind of meal?
So we have people over, not so often. Nothing to do with the baby, we just don't like people that much. But normally the go-to is a lasagna. I make a really good vegan lasagna, if I say so myself, and I think it's a good thing to make, because I don't like when you go to someone's house and you're like, they're stood there cooking, you're sat there waiting for them. So I like to try and get everything done before. So a lasagna is great for that, because they can arrive at 7, pop it in the oven, then it's ready for 8. You can have
your
starters.
You got the smells coming out.
You got the smells, and everyone's getting ready for it. So,
which way are you going with the lasagna? Because I also make a lot of vegan or vegetarian lasagnas.
Yeah,
you can go the sort of mushroomy, making like a ragu almost.
Yeah,
or go kind of clean tomatoes, spinach.
No, I do. I do.
Layer it up. Which way are you going?
I go traditional, as traditional as you can, by veganizing something. So yeah, I'll use vegan mince.
Okay, right.
Yeah, sometimes
which
I do,
is good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
It works. Like dry stuff, and then you kind of rehydrate it.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
You can use the dry stuff. You can buy it. I buy a lot of it frozen.
Or frozen,
and just you chuck it in. It's like, oh, sorry. Little, like, it looks like cat litter basically, but it tastes
it just
nice.
Sucks up flavour, right? That's what blew my mind. You could just
so I'll make it traditional. I make the bechamel the same way you would make a bechamel, but I'd use soy milk and vegan butter, a bit of flour, nutritional yeast, which is really healthy as well, and it just makes things taste cheesy, a little bit of nutmeg in the bechamel as well, that goes on the top. And starters, if I've got people being around, I want to make something easy, so I'll probably do like a little bruschetta, tomato, chopped tomato, a little bit of a salad with that. And dessert, if people are still hungry after the lasagna, which they don't tend to normally be, because I normally do a garlic bread as well, so bread at starter, bread for main, because you're coming, you're not leaving hungry.
No.
Dessert, it depends. I don't like to make too many desserts. I'm not such a bakey kind of person. I can't be bothered for it. It's too precise. But I mentioned before, I do love a sticky toffee pudding. It's a lot after a lasagna though. So sometimes we'll just do fruit. I think people hate that.
What about a vegan cheese board? Is there such a thing?
There is, but vegan cheese just, it hasn't found its feet. There's right. a couple of places. There's a place called La Fromagerie.
Yeah.
And they're pretty
great
good.
Name.
It's a great name, yeah. Mm. They're pretty good at replicating your brie and your yeah. blue cheese and stuff, but I don't have the appetite for it just hasn't worked. Vegan cheese for me, as do like the vegan meat substitutes, they serve a purpose. Mm. If I'm making like a vegan Reuben, I'll get a couple of slices of cheese, melt it in there, but yeah. I'm not going to go out of my way and buy cheese. I'm not always going to have it in the fridge. Pasta, I'm not going to put it on top of pasta because I think it actually tastes kind of horrible.
Yeah.
There is one vegan parmesan that actually you can get at Lidl, which is quite good. It tastes like, you know, you get that parmesan which is kind of, it's kept out of the fridge. It tastes like space dust. I don't know why. Yeah. But the vegan ones kind of taste like that. It's not the nice stuff. It's really dry. I don't know how they make it and you can keep it out of the fridge.
But that stands for the non-vegan
one. No, that is the non-vegan one. Yeah, 100%.
Mad stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But Nooch does a lot of the work. Nooch, is that what you call it?
We call it Nooch, yeah. It's fantastic.
That's quite a cool word, isn't it?
Nooch.
It is. It's a great product. I use it in so many things. Like any sort of sauce to give it a bit of cheesiness. Yeah. You can blend it up with tofu. I used it in a cheesecake that I made because it's a cheesecake and it gave it that cheesy sort of flavour. And it's really good for you. It's full of B12, super healthy. I'd recommend
get more Nooch in your life.
100%.
Yeah. What about if you've sort of overdosed on Nooch and booze and you're hungover the next morning? What are you having?
Morning time.
Yeah, hangover.
Morning's difficult. I tend to just basically wait until I can make enough food for lunch.
You're right, okay.
I'll plough through it, like paracetamol, Lucozade, like whatever I have to do.
Yeah.
Go for a walk, like try and do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll go out and buy like a vegan bacon and just make a bacon sandwich. It does fill a hole. Like the vegan bacon's pretty okay. And you fry it and whack it between some bread. It's greasy, it's oily, it does the job, but normally, if I'm really hungover, I just won't eat all day because I feel terrible. I would make, if anything, noodles. I've got two noodles on rotation. One I used to call crack noodles, but I got told off because it glorifies
people
drug use.
Have crack problems.
Yeah, I get that.
And noodle problems as well, though.
Problems. But these noodles, you'll see them go live. They were the first video I ever posted which went viral. They're basically just udon noodles. You've deep-fried shallots until they're really crispy. And then the noodles is a chili garlic paste, brown sugar, soy sauce, and lime juice. And like you whack the noodles in and throw the shallots back in, and they're just unreal. And the other one is Benben noodles. They're sort of like Dan Dan noodles, but
you know, I am Benben.
Were they yours?
Yeah.
Did you? There was in a cookbook my cousin sent me.
They're unbelievable.
With gherkins.
Really? Yeah, I made them today.
They were you.
I made them for you. I'm genuinely Benben.
Yeah. They're fantastic.
This is a beautiful Ben. This is just
my
incredible.
Cousin sent me a picture from
your cousin. I've always liked your cousin.
Yeah, I've got it because I've been eating them for yonks because I love.
They're
tahini.
Good, right?
Yeah, definitely.
What about for those listening?
100% me.
I'm confused.
So Dan Dan noodles are noodles.
Yeah, yeah.
With Dan Dan sauce.
Right. Okay. And then Ben.
I don't know what the fuck they are.
Yeah.
But they're kind of tahini-ish. There's like some meat and stuff in
January 2020.
Yeah. That's East you? By Mira Soda. Yeah.
There we go.
Ben Benton. How it's in the introduction.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
So these noodles. You say you made them today.
I've made them. Do you want me to get them out
now?
Yeah.
Get them out. I mean, we might as well now.
That's weird.
Yeah. This is incredible.
This might sound like we've set this up.
Yeah. We haven't at all.
Generally.
Set it up.
Yeah.
I've got to pour water in there just to loosen them up a bit.
Oh, go for it.
Do you want some of this?
I brought my own.
Oh, that's what the okay. All
boiling water.
Well, as you pour water,
I'm so pleased to meet you.
what a moment!
That is quite incredible.
No one's going to believe that. But
so this is a dish from Mira Soda's recipe book, which you've written. Well, you wrote actually.
I can't say that I wrote it.
You developed and wrote it with her. And
Correct, sir. This
dish is named after you, and it's become a firm favourite in my cousin, the Reebok household.
My cousin only sent it to me because my grandma used to call me Ben Ben. So he was like, oh, these are your noodles. And I tried them.
Maybe it's the whiskey, I don't know.
Yeah, it might be the whiskey. I tried them and they were fantastic. I do use a thicker noodle. I like a thick noodle.
You said earlier, you know, you're sort of knocking on the door of 500,000. What are the downsides of the job? I mean, you get to come to South London and have Ben Ben noodles.
South London is probably the biggest downside of any day of my life.
Okay.
No, I would say the biggest downsides are that people become very expectant and reliant on you.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a search engine. You can't just send me a message saying, what's like, you know, people, I literally get messages, people say, oh, best tofu recipe, and I'm like, hello, I'm a person, nice to meet
use
you.
Use Google.
Yeah, like, firstly, use Google, fuck off, leave me alone.
Yeah.
But like, you know, introduce yourself, say, hey, like, I'm, you know, I've been following you for whatever, you know, how's everything going? Mm-hmm. Are you okay? Like, I am a human being, like, I'm not, like, I think people just forget that there's interaction on the other side of it. Yeah. People think, oh, he's got followers, like, you know, he's used to this sort of stuff. So, yeah, I think that is the thing that grates on me the most. It's not necessarily a downside because
it doesn't
upset me. Like, it doesn't affect my mental health or anything, but...
You do think be civil, but yeah, at least be civil.
Come I on. Feel like, maybe. Particularly... Since, I mean, this is my personal opinion, but I think since
this is great garnishing. Sorry, just those listening.
Don't break the.
I was just gonna say
that's the best garnishing I've ever seen. But keep going.
I think since for me, COVID, people have felt like their opinions and voices need to be heard more than anyone else's. You know, when people were like dobbing in their neighbours, like, oh, my going on Facebook, my neighbour was out for 1 hour and 40 minutes. I was timing; it was only supposed to be an hour, and it's like. No one cares, and I feel like
you think there's a hangover from that.
This is the thing that social media has made everyone think that because you have a platform, like, your opinion matters. For me, people on social media, it's no different than going to Hyde Park Corner, standing on a soapbox and shouting. Like, I don't care.
Mm.
Like, people message me like essays about how my opinion's wrong. Like, I don't care because I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And because you disagree with me doesn't mean that I have to agree with you. So that's, for me, is the biggest downside, is people just making me feel like I have to care about their terrible, terrible opinions about so many different things from, you know, like, even, I'm not going to use the example of, you know, what's been happening in the Middle East, because that's, you know, that's been really tiring. But people message me and be like, oh, you know, you should raise your daughter vegan. Like, these are the reasons why. Like, sorry?
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck are you? Like, this is my child. Like, I own her. Completely. And if I want to give her a steak, even though I'm not going to eat it, I'm more than happy for her to do that. You know, these are the things that, the way that I want to do it. So,
that's
the biggest downside.
Do you get recognised in London? Do people abuse on the street sometimes?
Abuse, never.
Okay, that's good.
I do get recognised now, actually, a lot more than I'd quite like. I think at the beginning there was a point where I was like, I don't get recognised enough.
I'd like someone to just shout at me.
You walk into like vegan restaurants just hoping people would sort of spot you.
Literally I'd be there like, it's me. Like, I don't know you.
Like, hold on, let me get the hat.
Funnily enough, the last time, a few weeks ago, someone recognised me near where my in-laws live, and she literally, like, we were walking down the street, me and my wife, the baby, just literally walking around, and we just, this car like screeched, and I was like, oh my god, someone's gonna shoot me.
It's about to go.
I was like, this is bad. Like, literally screeched to a halt, and this woman like pulled down the window. She was like, are you the vegan guy from Instagram? I was like, oh yeah, hi. She was like, I recognise the little hat. No one else wears the little hat. I was like, there you go.
I think what Willie Cooks is trying to knit that hat from you as well, is he?
No.
Or is he wears a slightly bigger one?
Yeah, slightly bigger. But he's better looking than I am, so he can get away with
it.
He's got a better beard.
That's not true. I don't think
he's
he
got a better beard. Well, you know, I wasn't here for fishing for compliments.
No, well.
His style is great. So
he does have a good style.
He suits the big hats. But yeah, I get recognised fairly often, especially in the Jewish community now. I'm somewhat of a Z-list Jewish celebrity.
That's nice.
Yeah, the Z stands for Zionism.
It's a great place to be.
Yes.
What about cookbooks? I mean, you've done hundreds and hundreds of recipes now.
Yeah.
You sat opposite one of the biggest cookbook publishers in the world.
Hello.
Have you thought about doing one?
Surely people
have
are after
one?
You.
I've been trying to get it into, I guess, into the realm. I've always said, I feel like people in a similar position to me see getting a cookbook like how a young actor would look to try and get an Oscar. For me, it's not like that. I don't think it's the be-all or end-all. If I do one, it would be great. If I don't, I'm not going to like die on this hill. That it's going to bother me so much. I've come close, but it hasn't happened yet because I think I'm quite stubborn in my approach. So I wrote a whole proposal, which I still have, to do a Jewish vegan cookbook, because that's my passion and that's what sets me apart from everyone else. So for me, that's the best option as doing a Ben's Vegan Kitchen cookbook. It's Jewish recipes done by me, all vegan. Unfortunately, particularly in this country, you know, the audience that I'm talking to is, you know, you go to the Jewish audience, there's 250,000 Jews in the UK.
Yeah, not many vegans as well.
Exactly. You're a niche within a niche. So it hasn't necessarily, I haven't really taken it to market, but it hasn't been so well received here. That being said, in America, Jewish cookbooks are really big right now. Jake Cohen just released his second one, You Can Nosh or Nosh or something like that. Adina Sussman just released one called Shabbat, which is doing so, so well. Yeah. New York Times, both of them New York Times best-selling.
Yeah.
And these are these are just Jewish cookbooks. So the market is there.
Oh, 100%.
My plan actually for 2024 is to like break America a little bit more.
Nice.
I'm hopefully going to go to New York in April, May and try and do some collabs with some of these bigger Jewish American people and try and set up some meetings. I've had a few calls with some American publishers.
What's his name? Benji, the guy who does all the baking.
Ben Gingy,
yeah. Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah. And then obviously Jake Cohen.
Jake Cohen.
Alison Roman's basically Jewish, he says.
Yeah. No, there's loads. I mean, Benny Blanco is doing loads of food videos.
Benny Blanco is doing a lot of food videos. Yeah.
With all these other Jewish food people.
Yeah.
I want to get involved.
Well, Table Manners did a book in England, did pretty well, didn't it?
That was I didn't see it.
No. Do you know Jesse Ware? Lenny Ware?
Did a
podcast?
I know of her. Yeah. I don't know her.
They did like a kind of Jewish-y cook. Yeah.
Someone probably bought into the fact that she's
Yeah, but then I suppose it wasn't her. Vegan as well.
Yeah. Look, it's something
America.
America's the idea. Look, I
if you're going to do a cookbook, I'd only do it in America. It's a mug's game, cookbooks.
Yeah, I think it is. It's
genuinely,
hard.
Like, because I agree with you. People put it on this pedestal. It's like, I finally got a book.
Yeah.
The money is terrible.
Yeah.
And like, not that it's all about money, but it takes a lot of your time.
Well, this is where I'm
at. It's like a real sponge for your time.
So the publicist that I was dealing with was like, oh, you know, with this, she didn't even take it to market. She was like, I'm being realistic. She was like, you're probably not going to get more than 20 grand for that.
No, you, yeah.
And 20 grand, yes, to a lot of people is a lot of money. But firstly, 20% of that was going to her and my management. So you're already at 16 grand, I think, if my maths is right.
Yeah.
And the issue is a lot of these recipes for a Jewish cookbook, I've never... Not only made them before, a lot of them I've never eaten before.
Yeah.
Jewish American cuisine is very different to Jewish British cuisine.
Yeah.
They eat things like noodle kugel and kreplach and knishes and
Chinese food on Christmas.
Yeah, like I've never tried a lot of the stuff that they've eaten. Mm. So yeah, I'm gonna try and pursue it. I went down a different path because my publicist who I was working with, who I don't really think I work with anymore, but we'll see. She was like, try and do something a bit more general.
Is that news to her?
If she's listening, then
Oh no, we don't. She'll be listening.
Yeah, absolutely. we went down. She was like, "Do a more general route," and I tried to do like a tofu one because I do this tofu series, which has done really well, and people weren't like, they just weren't interested.
What about a restaurant? I mean, obviously they got Shalom Japan in New York, which is a wonderful. I don't know if you've seen that. It's sort of Japanese Jewish food. It's an incredibly successful place. Have you ever thought about sort of an oy vegan restaurant or pop up? Or
I did. I've done a couple of. I did a fundraising event. I did a supper club. They were again insane amounts of work for, you know, I got stuff back. It was rewarding, especially doing the fundraising event. But I don't know. I think the restaurant game is something that I've got very little interest in.
Well, talking about the, you know, possibility of a restaurant which will never come to light, let's finish on the final section, which is our sort of go-to locations, restaurants and, you know, bars. And this can be anywhere, by the way. Can't, you know, not just London, New York, Tel Aviv, wherever you want. So favourite place for, like, a special supper?
I really like, and it's quite a new restaurant, Lilienbloem. It is Israeli cuisine. It's in sort of Old Street. And it's just, they've got a really nice vibe in there. All the staff are great, and the food's really good, and they sort of cater for everyone. So yeah, it's nice for a special occasion because you go in there and it's a bit more of a sort of party-ish vibe. It's not a party vibe, but it is more. Yeah, it's upbeat and location's unreal. The venue's really good, and I like the food and the people who work there as well. So,
what about your best pub? Favorite pub?
Ooh, for eating or for drinking?
Drinking, I would say.
Drinking. Okay. For me, it's going to be the Southampton Arms, which is in Kentish Town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is your pub as well? You
I
own
love
it?
That pub.
Yeah.
No, I've never... No. But I know, I know exactly what you mean.
It's a really cool little pub. I used to live literally... When I lived with my dad lived 2 minutes up the road.
Hmm.
And it opened quite a few years ago, but it opened as a... We only sell beer and cider from within a 10-mile radius of the place itself, and they don't really do food. They do like a Scotch egg and a sausage
like
roll.
A pie, maybe, or sausage roll. Yeah.
It's like a proper pub. They never used to accept card. They probably do now. I suspect that they do. I haven't been for a few years.
Excuse me.
But yeah, that's definitely for me. Like, if I'm going to go somewhere, like I said, I haven't been for a while, but it's just a great boozer. I used to know the people who worked there, so I had a few lock-ins there as well, I probably shouldn't say, but yeah, good fun.
What about date night? Best place for a date? You finally get to escape the baby for a bit?
Finally get to go out. There's actually a restaurant which is off the beaten track for probably most people, but it's really good food and it's completely weird location. Technically, it's not in London, so I don't know if it counts, but it's a restaurant called Sakushi. It's in Bushey High Street, and Bushey is not like Bushey Park is in South, it's Hertfordshire. And this high street has nothing there, but they opened this almost like West End Japanese fusion restaurant.
Oh, very good.
And the food is just ridiculously good. Like, it's not the best Japanese food you'll ever have. And it's not for sushi purists. You can't go and order like a salmon avocado. It's all like unique rolls and just really good food. And yeah, me and my wife love it. It's like 100 quid every time you go, which, you know, you're in Bushey, which is annoying. Yeah. But actually, for me, it's fine. I'd rather spend 100 quid and be 10 minutes from home than spend 100 quid and have to get the train home.
Well, that sounds a bit like a hidden gem, you know, a Japanese in Bushey. But
it might be.
If there was another hidden gem you could reveal to the masses, what would it be?
If I had to go somewhere... You said for date night, didn't you?
So just in general, a great place to go and eat.
I really like, in Golders Green, an Italian restaurant called L'Artista. It's very old school. It's been there for about 40 years. If you tell them it's your birthday, they come around bashing all this stuff. The pasta they do there is great. And it's traditional. Traditional, you know, nothing too fancy. I haven't had the pizza there for ages because they refuse to do a vegan cheese, which I credit them for. They say it's not good enough.
Yeah.
But I go there and get the penne arrabbiata, and you get this bowl, and it's enormous. Mm. It's good food. So, yeah, it's probably a bit of a hidden gem because... Yeah, but if you know about it, you know about it. It's great.
Nice.
And what about your dream long weekend getaway? If you could go anywhere with the kid, with the wife.
In the UK?
No, anywhere.
Anywhere?
3-4 days away.
World's your oyster.
Nice food, nice wine.
Budapest. I think Budapest is a great city. Very flat. Yeah. Not like Lisbon, which is all uphill. Yeah. So it was going to be Lisbon because I really like it there, but it's too hilly. It's not worth it. Budapest, I think there's really good food there, like surprisingly good options. The booze is like £1 a pint, and the architecture and everything like that. You know, it's a city on a river, which is great. So yeah, for me, Budapest is top tier. Really like it.
Well, Ben, you've been absolutely incredible. We're going to finish off in the way we always do, where we ask you to pick three dishes from what you've mentioned today. So that could be anything from your own creations to, you know, the penne you have in the Italian and Golders Green. If you're going to put together sort of a 3-course of starter main pudding from the three things you've revealed today on your go-tos, what would they be?
So if we're doing it as a 3-course, I'm actually going to now make a mini lasagna for starters. Nice. So we're going to start off with the lasagna because I've got to get the pasta in some way. So we'll do the lasagna to start with a little bit of garlic bread, which will be lovely. For a main, we're going to go as far away from lasagna as possible, and we're going to go for I'm not calling them crack noodles, but I'm calling them... Last time I called them BVK noodles, Ben's Vegan Kitchen noodles.
Nice.
I also once called them DiCaprio noodles because I said that they were the noodles that every other noodle wants to be. Mm-hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio, yeah. It's clever, but it was long to explain it. But I'm making a massive bowl of those with like a little like salad, like a little Asian slaw on the side. Going to really fill people up on double carbs. And then dessert, you're not going to be surprised what I'm going to say here, because sticky toffee pudding, every time, you just can't go wrong. So
you can't beat it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a rogue 3-course meal. Not the fanciest, but I don't make fancy food. I make food that just tastes nice.
Pure pleasure, though, that 3-course.
Absolutely.
Courses.
Yeah, delicious.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for sharing your go-tos with us today. We'll let you get tucked into the Ben Ben noodles. Ben, as well. The dish, you know, was named after
Ben,
you, supposedly. Ben noodles. Guys, thank you so much for listening, for watching. We'll see you all next week. Until then, please leave us a good rating, share, subscribe and comment, and we'll see you all on the Go To Podcast next week.